Masech Shavuos, Perek Hei, Mishnah Gimel, until Perek Hei, Mishnah Vov. We're going to learn later on in our Masechta about a concept known as beer. What exactly is beer? So when a certain type of produce can no longer be found at all in the fields, to the point that even animals who are roaming around cannot find any of that produce, at that point there's a special halacha that if you gathered in any of that produce to your house, then you need to remove it from your house and get rid of it. We'll learn lots of details about that halacha later on, but for now we'll just mention that there's a fundamental machlekes about the status of that produce after the beer. According to Rabbi Yehuda, once you've gotten rid of that produce from your house, you can't then recollect it, and in fact, after beer, that becomes the property of the poor people. So any poor person can take it for himself. Until the poor person has taken it, it's viewed as sort of a collective property of anybody poor. But as soon as one poor person takes it, it becomes owned entirely by him. That's Rabbi Huda's opinion. However, Rabbi Meir's opinion is that beer is just like hefko, and you make something ownerless, which means that anybody can then take it, whether he's poor or not, and that includes the person himself. So according to Rabbi Meir, what beer involves is just removing it from your house, but as soon as you've done that, if you want to, you can take it back and eat it for yourself. Now in our Mishnah, we're going to have two different opinions, and one of the opinions will hold like Rabbi Huda, that only poor people can eat it afterwards, and it's viewed as the poor people's property. I'm going to have another opinion that holds like Rabbi Meir, that anybody, even the owner himself, can take back that food. Says the Mishnah, Luf she'ovra olav shavias, a luf, which is a certain type of onion, whose leaves passed shavias. Olav are its leaves, and the situation which the Mishnah is referring to is where this plant and the leaves grew both in the 7th year, the Shemitah year, and then they carried on growing into the 8th year as well. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Imloktu animus olav, if actually the poor people did collect the leaves, they did pluck the leaves during Shemitah, and that's really not the case of our Mishnah, but Rabbi Eliezer says that if that is the case, then lokotu, they've gathered it, meaning it's okay. And that part's obvious, and everybody agrees on that, that if poor people did pluck leaves of a plant during Shemitah, then obviously they can keep them. Everything during Shemitah is hefka. But now comes the machlekes, v'imlav, if the poor people did not take the leaves off the plants during Shemitah, and therefore the plants carried on growing into the 8th year, if you think about it, let's say those leaves are plucked during the 8th year. So half of those leaves, and really half of each leaf, grew during Shemitah, and the second half of each leaf grew during the year after Shemitah. But since part of each leaf was a Shemitah leaf, beer does apply to it, which means, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who we're going to see holds like Rabbi Yehuda that it goes to only poor people after beer, so that means that anything which grew after beer, after that stage when there was no longer any of that produce left in the fields, anything which grew after that didn't belong to the owner. Because from the point of beer, it all belongs to poor people. And therefore, kuntribiliezer, yas, cheshpenim ha'aniim, he needs to do a calculation with the poor people, meaning he doesn't need to give all of the leaves away to the poor people, because only the second half of the leaves which grew belong to the poor people. But he should work out what proportion of the leaf grew after beer. So if you imagine, let's say, 1/3 of the leaves grew after the stage of beer. So in that case, he would give 1/3 of the leaves to the poor people. However, Rabbi Yeshua argues, because Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rabbi Meir, which means that after beer, it doesn't become the poor people's property, rather it just becomes ownerless. It's hefka, which means that the owner himself could just reclaim it, and therefore he can keep all of the leaves. Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says, Im lotu animus olav lakotu. If the poor people did collect and gather the leaves during Shemitah, then of course they gather them and they can keep them, just like any produce of Shemitah. However, v'im lav, if not, then says Rabbi Yeshua, ein lo ani olav cheshbon, the poor people have no calculation, they have no claim against him, because it never entered their property, they have no claim more than anybody else, and therefore the owner could just reclaim it for himself, and therefore he can keep all of the leaves for himself. Mishnah Dalet. The Mishnah is going to mention three different types of species, which although they are vegetables, and we learned earlier on in the previous perek, that when it comes to vegetables, we look at the time that they are gathered in from the field. So if they're gathered in from the field during Shemitah, then they are considered Shemitah produce, even if they grew mostly in the previous year. That critical stage when they are gathered in. However, when it comes to these three species, because they are left in the ground for a long time, even after they've completed their growth, so their critical stage is not considered when they're gathered in, because that occurs way after they're fully grown. Rather, as soon as they are fully grown, that is considered the critical stage. Now, when it does come to uprooting these species from the ground, they would dig them up. But of course, if you're digging up produce from the ground during Shemitah, it may look as if you are preparing the ground to be planted. And because of that, you need to dig it in slightly an unusual way. And that's what we're going to see in our Mishnah. However, because you dig it in slightly an unusual way, the luf actually gets slightly damaged. Which means that if the luf is considered to be Shemitah produce, meaning if it completed its growth during Shemitah, then you cannot dig it up. Because you can't dig it up in the usual way, because it looks like you're planting there, you're preparing to plant that ground. And you can't use the unusual way of our Mishnah, because that way you damage the produce and you can't damage Shemitah produce. Which means that the Mishnah's case is where the produce completed its growth even before Shemitah, but it was left into the ground until even after Shemitah. Until after Shemitah had started. So Luf Shel Erev Shavuos, Luf which grew and completed its growth before Shavuos, so in the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, Shenichnas HaShavuos, but then it entered into the Shemitah cycle, whilst into the Shemitah year, while still attached to the ground. The same would apply to Betzalim HaKitzonim, which either refers to onions which were planted in the summer, or grew during the summer, or who were dried out by the sun. The point is that these things were also left in the ground for a long time after they had completed their growth. So if they completed their growth in the sixth year, but you're only digging them up in the seventh year, then the same would apply. And the third thing is, V'chein Pur Shel Idis, the same would apply to Pur, which is a type of plant from which they make red dye. And if this was growing Shel Idis, if it was growing in a very good quality land and good quality soil, so Be'sham, I say, that Oikrin Esom Ma'rufa Shel Eitz, you need to dig them up with wooden spades. Usually they would use metal spades. But according to Be'sham, you've got to make a big difference and do it in a totally unusual manner and dig it up with wooden spades. On the other hand, you're allowed to use metal spades still, although the truth is, the Mefarshim explained that even according to Beis Hillel, you need to dig it up in a slightly unusual way, although you are allowed to use the regular tool. Beis Hillel are less concerned about people thinking that he's digging up the earth in order to prepare it to be planted. Now the Mishnah ends off, Umoidim, they agree, Beis Shammai agreed to Beis Hillel, B'pur Shel Tzela'is, with regards to Pur which grows among rocks. So because it grows among rocks, if you're digging it up, people are very unlikely to suspect you of digging up that area to be planted. Because people don't really plant around rocks, because not much of that area can be planted. So because there's less suspicion involved, even Beis Shammai would hold that you're allowed to dig those up with the metal spades, but again, you would need to make a slight difference. Mishnah Hey, we're going to learn in the next perek that on the year following Shemitah, one can't just buy produce from anybody straight away and treat it as regular produce. Because the produce directly after Shemitah probably grew during Shemitah. If you're buying from somebody who's not trusted with regards to Shemitah, so you can't buy from him because he may have worked that field during Shemitah, which means that anything which grew in his field would be forbidden to benefit from. And therefore, in general, you can only buy produce from anybody, even those who are not necessarily trusted with Shemitah, only from the point that the 8th year produce is more than the 7th year produce. And that time is from Pesach. From Pesach of the 8th year, we assume that more produce was grown in the 8th year, which is around being sold in the markets, and therefore you can assume that the produce which you're buying from this particular person was grown in the 8th year, and therefore you can do what you like with that produce. The focus of our Mishnah is somebody who buys luf from somebody else, and the way the Yerushalmi explains the situation is that he buys luf which was hidden in the ground. If you recall, we learned earlier on in this perek that people would often store luf for a long time, and they would usually store it in the ground. So if somebody is buying luf during the year following Shemitah, and he knows that this luf had been stored in the ground for quite a while, so now the Mishnah asks, from when is one allowed to buy luf in the year following Shemitah from anybody, and he does not need to be concerned that this grew illegally during Shemitah? So Rabbi Yehuda says, miyod, straight away. Immediately on the first day of the 8th year, you can already buy this luf. And the reason for Rabbi Yehuda is because we learned in the previous Mishnah that if you want to dig up luf during Shemitah, you have to do it with a wooden spade, you have to do it with a difference, it's very difficult. Which means that nobody would dig up the luf during Shemitah just in order to store it. So if this luf was being stored during Shemitah, it's very unlikely that it was uprooted during Shemitah, because no one would go to that hard work just in order to store it in the ground. You might as well just keep it attached to the ground. And therefore you can assume that this was actually uprooted during the 6th year, and then it was stored during the entire Shemitah year in the ground. However, the Chachom say you cannot be so sure. Maybe it was actually uprooted during Shemitah, and it completed its growth only during Shemitah, which means that it is considered Shemitah produce. And therefore, just like with all other vegetables, Mishayebeh HaChodosh, only once the new year's produce is more than the old year's produce, only then can you assume that what you are buying is the 8th year produce, and that it is not Shemitah produce, such that you'd be able to do whatever you want with that produce, and it would not need to be treated with the sanctity of Peiros Shavuos. Mishnah Vov, after mentioning buying from somebody who is suspected of violating Shemitah, the next few Mishnahs, really until the end of the Perek, is going to discuss what one is not allowed to do because he is causing somebody else to violate Shemitah. And just like one is not allowed to do Averis himself, he's not allowed to cause others to do Averis. The Torah says, Lifnei Iver lo sitin michshol, in front of a blind person you cannot put a stumbling block, and included in this is causing somebody else to do an Avera. And the point of this Mishnah Vav is that something which can only be used for something which is forbidden during Shemitah, so for example, a plow, you're not allowed to sell that to somebody who does not keep Shemitah, because you're almost certainly causing him to do an Avera. However, you are allowed to give him something which he could use for an Avera, or he could also use for a permissible use. So really, if there's anything which is permissible, which can be done with that thing, then you can give that to somebody, even if that's somebody else, is suspected of not keeping the halachas of Shemitah. So the Mishnah tells us, Elu kelim, the following are the utensils, she'en ha'umon rasha ne'mochem ba'shavias, which a worker, somebody who makes these utensils, and it would really apply to anybody, is not allowed to sell to somebody else during Shemitah. And again, we're talking specifically about selling to somebody who he suspects does not keep the halachas of Shemitah. If he does keep the halachas of Shemitah, then you can sell him anything. Even a plow, you just assume that he's preparing for the following year, but he's not actually going to use it during Shemitah. However, when it comes to somebody who is suspected, you cannot sell him macharish v'chol keleha, a plow and all its utensils which come with it, ha'ol, a yoke which is used to get the animals to move with the plow, v'hamizre, this is a tool which was used for winnowing, which is when they would separate different parts of the grain, the heavier parts which they wanted and the lighter parts which they didn't want. And the truth is, one is allowed to winnow during Shemitah if he does it to a small amount of produce. But this tool, the mizre, is a tool which was only really used when you would winnow a lot of grain. And that's forbidden during Shemitah, and therefore you cannot give that to somebody who you suspect does not keep the laws of Shemitah. The hadeker, this is another tool used for digging up the ground that was possibly connected to the plow. But again, all these things are only used for something which is forbidden during Shemitah, and therefore you cannot sell them. However, v'moicher hu magal yod, he can sell a hand sickle. A sickle is a moon-shaped sort of knife, or a moon-shaped blade with a handle. And magal kotzer is a sickle used for harvesting. It's very similar to a magal yod, just a bit bigger. But they were both used to harvest even just a little bit of grain. And since that's permitted during Shemitah, you're allowed to do that just to a little bit of grain. So it has a permissible use, and therefore you can sell it. V'agol v'chol keleha, one is also allowed to sell a wagon and all its different parts, because even though you could use a wagon for forbidden things, for example, if you harvest a lot of grain which is forbidden, and then you transport it using that wagon, that will be forbidden. However, since you could also use the wagon for something permissible, you're allowed to sell it even to somebody who you don't think keeps the halachas of Shemitah. And Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule. Kol shemelachta miyuchedes la'aveira, anything which the work which is done with that thing is specific to an aveira. It's only used to do something which is forbidden during Shemitah, then also it's obviously forbidden to sell to somebody who you suspect will use it for that forbidden thing. However, le'isser or le'heter, if that thing could be used for something which is forbidden as well as something which is permissible, then mutter, it's permitted to sell to anybody, because lifni iver, the prohibition against causing others to do aviras, only applies if it's pretty much sure that he's going to do the avira with that thing that you are supplying him with.